Welcome back to Rust Belt Running. I'm Andrew Hettinger, and joining me shortly with a coaching tip is going to be Adam Wheeler. I'm really excited. This week we stay in the Lone Star State, and we go to the Capitol to discuss the Austin Marathon. This is special for a couple reasons. One, I lived in Austin for a few years. Holds a special place in my heart. And two, the guy coming on to talk with us, Brennan Panovich, he's one of our athletes. He's been working with Matt Martin for the last year or so, and he took on his third attempt at the marathon and discusses his results a little bit, but also just like the experience of the Austin Marathon. Really enjoyed spending time talking with him, and I think you're going to enjoy it as well. The Austin Marathon took place on February 18th of this year. There were around 18,000 participants between the full and the half. On the 18th this year, it was a little cooler than usual, actually a lot cooler than usual. It was a high of 56 for the day, and the race start was 31 degrees. So even us up here in Northeast Ohio, it was cooler than Columbus last year. That is definitely not going to be the typical weather. Race day temperatures, usually the high is 80 degrees with a race day start of 56. So probably going to creep into the mid 60s, upper 60s by the finish of a race for you. So definitely a hilly course. Brennan talks to us about it. And some of it, I'm not sure if it was off air afterwards or if it was taking place during the recording, but yeah, not maybe a PR course, but sounds like a tremendous experience regardless, especially in that city. So I'm going to throw it to Adam for a coaching tip, but before I do, I just want to ask, is there a race that you've run recently that you'd like to review? Is there a race you're interested in and you'd like us to see if we can get more information on it? And drop us a line. Our DMs on Instagram are always open, except I'm on a little social media break. Instead of that, email us at rustbeltrunning@gmail.com. Our website's also a great place to find us. We have a contact form there, and you can learn about our different offerings and run coaching, shop for merchandise, things like that. Find out different ways that you can support the show. We do strive to keep our podcast content free. No paywalls, no ads, and we need your support to do that. Your listens, shares, reviews, they go a long way to that, and they are not overlooked. So we thank you guys so much for all the support we've had throughout the years. All right, Adam, winter's almost over, but I'm sure you have another winter coaching tip because you sent these to me in a batch back in February.
Here's a training tip from us here at Rust Belt Running. The last thing we want to talk about when it comes to training through cold weather is just to remind everyone to be adaptable. There's simply much bigger fluctuations in terms of temperature and in terms of weather conditions when you're training through winter weather than you get training through the summer. And what that means is for runners, especially runners that are dialed in to race training and trying to hit specific workouts, you might have to be adaptable in terms of how you train. That might mean changing up the order of your workouts during a week so that you know that you can get those workouts in safe places where you're not going to slip. It might mean having to change the workouts in general and just simply find a way to get as much of the planned workout in as you can without maybe having the road conditions that would allow you to do that. And it might also just simply mean skipping a workout. Every once in a while, there's just gonna be weather that is just dangerous to drive through, dangerous to train through. And you know what? It's a lot better to be a little undertrained and healthy at the start line than it is to not be at the start line hurt because you slipped on some ice or you got into an accident trying to drive to a gym through a snowstorm because you had to get the miles in. Winter is just simply tough to train through. And if you have the guts to go through it, there's usually a pretty good payoff when it comes to race day during the spring. But you've also got to have the smarts to make sure that you don't do anything that's going to keep you from getting to that start line in the first place. Just simply accept that sometimes Mother Nature is going to have her say. There's not much you can do about it, and live to fight another day. Be adaptable. Get as much of the running in that you've planned as possible. And when conditions are simply such that you can't do it, just shrug, shake it off, and go fight another day.
All right. So before we begin with Brennan, I do want to give one more call to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. Check out rustbeltrunning.com. Learn about working with us as coaches. You can find information about merch and stuff like that. And speaking of working with us as coaches, Brennan is with me now, and he's been working for the last, 8 or 10 months with Matt?
I'll say probably around then. How far ago, how long ago was June? Probably around 8:10.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, and you've had a lot of success. You've had a big PR, and then you were going after a big one, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It didn't necessarily go your way, but, you know, we feel we learned some things, and you got to experience Austin regardless. So, you're from Northeast Ohio. You're from Akron, correct?
Yep, born and raised.
And you went down to Austin, where I once lived, and we're piggybacking our Houston Marathon episode last week with Austin this week. Why did you want to go down to Austin to run the Austin Marathon?
Yeah, so it's a very long, boring story, but to keep it short, the city of Austin is kind of how I got into running. So they're a fitness influencer and like founder, CEO of a company, Bear Performance Nutrition, Nick Bear. He just always did like content, started a company up down in Austin, Texas. And I just followed that journey since probably 2015, 2016. So seeing someone like him who has never ran in his life to starting to run, and now he's running like sub 240 marathons, it was just crazy to see. So it's like everything I saw regarding running was just always down in Austin. Always heard about the community down there when it comes to running. So,
well, having lived down there, I will tell you that it gets very hot in the summer, but you can run year round very easily because you don't get the snow and crap that we get up here. You just have to wake up really early in the morning to avoid the heat over the summer, and even then, it's not usually enough. How far down in advance of the race did you go? How many days did you spend down there?
So it was a Sunday race. I got there probably mid Friday, so probably around noon. I think I landed. Then I stayed a day after, so I left Monday night. So probably like 4 days total.
Okay. Where'd you stay at?
So, stayed at the Driscoll downtown, which...
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, at the time, I didn't really know what I was getting into, but it was a really cool experience.
What type of places did you eat at? I know this is a big one. Like, I was giving you all the places to eat. You took one of them, and I'm curious to hear your reaction to it. But what were some of the places you ate at down there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a little disappointed in my food decisions besides post-marathon, but it was a lot of, like, quicker, faster meals. Like, I know I went to Cava a few times, Juiceland, just for, like, a smoothie or one of their, like, on-the-go sandwiches or something. And then this is really bad. I went to just, like, Whole Foods food. I just go to, like, the cafeteria for lunch or something, get something quick. But the highlight definitely had to be Green Mesquite. That was the post marathon meal, and it was Texas barbecue.
Yeah, that was my recommendation. I say it's the best barbecue in Austin. People will want to roast me for not saying Franklin barbecue, but I think Green Mesquite is absolutely incredible. But you had it Dash though. You didn't actually go there, did you?
Yeah. The bad move on my part.
Yeah. Well, so, and it's an awesome place. Now, I know your weather, I don't think, was great while you were there, so you may not have enjoyed it to the same extent, but like they have a bunch of outdoor seating and it's just like picnic tables. Like it's just like the most like, it's like going over to a friend's house for barbecue. It's amazing. And their chocolate pie, which you didn't get, is the best chocolate pie I have ever had. So if you go to Austin for the Austin Marathon, Green Mesquite, mark it down, and you're welcome. That is post-race only,
though. 100%.
I was really bummed that you didn't go to Home Slice. That's like that is to me the crown jewel of Austin food, and you could have gone there for carb lift.
I should have,
because their garlic knots are insane. But so you stayed downtown, you went to the expo. What was the expo like? You've run Akron up here, and that's a massive expo for a mid-market race. How would you describe this expo? Bare bones, or was it a bigger affair?
It was crazy. I think I went to Akron at the wrong time. I went like early on the very first day, so they were still pretty much setting up stuff, and there wasn't a ton of people there. But Austin, it was like every square inch of the actual expo was either filled with vendors, people, just like things to test out, try out, and it was just like unique vendor setups too. It wasn't just, you know, a stand and a few people sitting behind a desk. Like there were a lot of like interactive things you could do.
Oh, nice. So definitely a big event. How was the pickup or packet pickup process and all, getting your shirt and all that fun stuff?
That was actually a lot easier than I thought, because the expo was pretty congested. There was a lot of people in it, but there's like a big hall right before you entered it where you could go get your packet, get your like shirt and everything, and then you'd walk into the expo part. So getting your packet and everything there, it was pretty like efficient.
How was the swag for the race? Did the shirt good quality, cool design? You gonna wear this one outside of the race, or is this gonna wind up at a start line sometime as a throwaway warm up?
I like the hat. The hat was pretty cool. I'll be honest, okay. The shirt, I'd have to look at it. They had a lot of like cool gear in the expo, but the shirt, interesting design. I mean, it's a free shirt, which is always great, but
yeah, it's included. Yes, it's not included. Free. You paid for it. Austin is not a cheap race. So I really hope that, that you feel like you got your money's worth out of it. Cause I almost went down and did it this year. And, when I was looking at registration, I was like, yeah, no,
it's crazy.
It was like $160 when I was looking at it. I was like,
yeah.
No. So transportation to the race. So you were staying downtown. I'm guessing you walked, pretty much everywhere, huh? For the race.
Yep. Yeah. Especially race day. I think start line was probably a 2-minute walk from the, hotel I was at.
So did you make great use of that proximity? Instead of waiting for porta potties, did you just wait till like the last possible minute to leave the hotel and just take advantage of
that? Yeah, I stayed in the hotel. I knew exactly what I needed to drop off at the gear check, and I was like, I'm staying in, because it was cold that morning too, so I was like, I'm staying in here as long as possible and then going out as soon as I need to.
Was it wet? I don't remember if it was wet or not in the morning.
Wasn't wet. It was like pretty windy and cold.
Yeah, it was like mid-30s, wasn't it? Yeah, it was uncharacteristically cold for Austin at any time of year.
Yeah, it's good old Ohio weather.
Yeah, I mean, you trained through it, so you might as well get it on race day. I mean, better than it being 80. That would have been shock to the system right there. How easy were the corrals to navigate there? Was it pretty easy to find where you needed to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually like, I didn't realize it when I was walking down, but like after the race, seeing like the corrals and how they were all set up, it was literally just like a uniform line. So it was like gear check, walk a little bit, there were porta potties, and then it's just like each corral. So it was like 4:15, 4 hour.
Oh, nice.
And it just went all the way up to the like the 3 hour in elite tier.
Yeah. How seamless was the gear check process?
It was good. I mean, it's probably on par with Akron and Cleveland, where a lot of it's just go up, you can hand it to them, and then they'd separate it by like last name or bib number.
All right, let's get into the race now. We crossed the start. How was the congestion in the race at the beginning?
It was a lot. There were a lot of people at the start. But it didn't last too long. As soon as probably like half a mile in, it really opened up. Because I think we were just in such a tight space. And I think it was Congress Street. But as soon as it opened up over the bridge, it was a lot wider.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the first bit of that is a lot of four lane roads. Like Congress is like it's like the main road in Austin to get you at least on the south side of the Capitol. And so yeah, once you get over that bridge, it's and you're still going straight for a bit. It's nice that it kind of broke up there.
Yeah.
You weren't having to like find your space through turns or over medians and stuff, which happens in some downtown races. How were the water stops on the course? Did you find that they were plenty? Did you carry anything?
No. So usually, I know for Akron, I carried a water bottle, which probably I probably should have done that for this one. I'm just so used to it at this point, but didn't carry anything. But the water stops, they had a lot. I was surprised about how many they had. Setup wise, they were really nice too, because it was like you knew if it was either water or I think they had noon for like electrolytes.
Okay. Were you like bumping into people when you were going for any drinks, or was it pretty wide open and easy to get to a table to grab yourself something?
There were probably a few at the beginning where got a little tight just because there were so many people still in like the 3 hour mark that were trying to grab water and stuff. But especially later on in the race, it was pretty seamless where you could just like run up. There was probably only like one or two other people you were running with who were grabbing it.
How did you do? Like this is you had a lofty goal, early on in the race when you were hitting that pace, what was the how difficult was it to be grabbing water? Like that's one thing I like as I've gotten faster. I'm carrying now, and it's easy to do that, grabbing and going, and especially early on when nobody wants to lose a second.
It was I've learned how to funnel the cups now. Our past few marathons, I did not know how to funnel, and it was just like throwing water on me. But no, it definitely a lot better or easier to carry like a water bottle or like a soft flask or something. But
Yeah.
got the hang of it, just like really pinching it, trying to make sure I'm not just splashing it everywhere.
I do the claw. Like, so I always, the person's holding it out. I go in, one finger in, and then two fingers on the outside. And that lets me keep from splashing the person too. But yeah, I do that, get a good grip, and then it's already like creased and I can just throw it down and I can I can chug beverages very easily. Lots of practice with alcoholic beverages. How was the course marked? Were you pretty clear where you were on the course throughout the race?
I would say so. I was looking down my watch a lot, especially after mile 13 or halfway. I don't know if it was because I was like dialed in to the race, but I feel like it was I didn't see as many like mile marks as I saw it at like an Akron. Because I feel like at Akron I knew exactly what mile I was at. I knew exactly where I was gonna be. I feel like it was. I feel like especially in the first half, you just kind of were going.
I'm gonna ask about aid stations, and this I know that you had to stop at one. What was the like? I've stopped at one time for bloody nipples. That was my need to stop at one time in my racing career. What was how was the attention you got, the care you got? Did you get? I know you didn't necessarily get the answers you wanted, but how was the staff at the aid station?
I mean it was good. They kind of blended in with the people handing out water stuff. The one I think it might have just been the one I stopped at. They were kind of like hiding in the back by like a med van. But once I got there, they were asking me like, okay, like what was the issue? Blah blah blah. If it was something that they think they could have fixed there, they would have. But they were also very transparent, like you're probably off, just better to not do this now and just keep going. So that's what we ended up doing.
So, was anybody with you making this decision with you, or was this just you?
When I stopped at the med station.
Yeah, and you made the decision to keep going.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I went up to her and she was like, you know, what's wrong? I was like, I think something in my Achilles is just like, this is like a shooting pain every step. And she, I was going to like take my shoe off the shower. And she's like, she's like, is it bruised? Or she's just like asking like some pretty simple questions. I was like, yeah, it's just, I think it's like Achilles area. She's like, we could tape it, but honestly, it's not going to help much with like stability. She's like, your best bet would be to walk, to run at a, or run slower at a pace where it doesn't hurt. Or she's like, if it gets worse, just stop. And that's when I think like the inner Goggins went in on me and I'm like, I'm not stopping. I did not fly all the way down to Austin, Texas to stop.
Matt texted me. We were watching your splits and we got one of them that came back. It was the first one that was like, this feels like this is behind.
Yeah.
And you know, then it was behind, but Matt, he started going through, like looking at the leaders' splits. He's like, I think the timing Matt's off. We're like, okay. And then we saw it was like really behind. Yeah. And he's like, oh my gosh, I wish he had his phone because he needs to stop. So I guess good for you. You don't carry your phone to have your coach tell you to stop a race because you ended up finishing this, which, you know, is a story in and of itself. I you know, just want to encourage that every race does tell a story in a runner's career. And this one is just it's a different one for you. It's not ideal. Mm-hmm. But you know, we do learn from them as runners. And I think you learn a lot from yourself, in the difficult races. Like the most memorable finishes for me are the ones that were just brutal. Mm-hmm. And you cross the finish with a terrible result, but you're just like, I still did that. Yeah. Like that was harder than the good ones. And I did that. And I think that that's something to be proud of in and of itself. So I'm proud of you for continuing. I'm glad that it doesn't appear yet that, you know, there was any damage done by you continuing.
Thank you.
So, back to the race. I want to ask, how was the crowd support, during the Austin Marathon?
It was crazy, especially just because a lot of, so the company that I said or was mentioning in the beginning, Bear Performance Nutrition, they're like a supplement and like endurance, they do like a lot of endurance projects, they actually make gels and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was wearing one of their hats and like one of their mottos is go one more, and there's so, every time someone saw you wearing the hat, they just start yelling, go one more, you got this. And it's like, I didn't know any of these people, but it felt like I was in, yeah, Akron, and I knew the people I was running next to. It's just such a like a family environment down there, because everyone, so many people are running, so many people understand like what you're going through when you're racing and you're, you know, 18 plus miles in. Mm-hmm. Just enduring the pain. People are like,
yeah,
I think at the very last couple of miles, there were people who would just start like running from the crowd and start running with you, cheering you on, pushing you to go farther. So it was really cool.
I'm sure that you were wearing that on your face a little bit, the pain you were in, which probably helped lead people to go, this guy needs it. Like there's just people you see like, this guy needs a little extra something. Was there anything else that the race did that was like, or the city did that was like unique? I mean, in Akron, you know, when you're running, the neighborhoods are crazy. You'll get like families with like bounce houses, mm-hmm, in their front yard for race day, which is nuts to me. Was there anything like that that you experienced in the city or anything crazy?
It was definitely a different environment compared to running through like, you know, the neighborhoods you grew up in and stuff like that, but it was just a lot. It was cool because you're running through, you know, roads and part of Austin that are, you know, 100 plus years old, and a lot of those buildings and stuff are still in the same condition, or like they still have that old school style where it's just, you don't see that in Northeast Ohio, especially when you're running past like 6th Street, getting to see all like the murals and everything. It was just really cool to see.
As you were I want to ask, because we really have talked about the South Side. That's a lot of what I'm, you know, envisioning in my head. How was running through campus? Where were the hills at? Because I've always heard this course is rough. Or did you not experience them because maybe you were dinged up at this time, so you weren't quite trying to blast the hills as much?
So the only thing that I'll ding the Austin Marathon, and it's not even the actual race, but the elevation chart that they have on the course is so deceiving. Like, I think it said maybe 800 feet of elevation or something total, which is like, okay, you know, we've done Akron, shouldn't be too much of a problem. I think we ended with like over a thousand, but these hills weren't just like a slow, steady incline like a lot of like Northeast Ohio. It was just short, very steep uphills followed by like the downhill. Yeah. And some of them, I felt like I was climbing stairs. It was, they were steep, but it was a good mix up from just like the straight and steady at the very end.
I remember talking with Matt about the course because I had said, dude, I've heard horror stories about the hills at Austin. And your goal, again, was a big PR like that you had. If things didn't come, I do think you had that. But like, he kind of like brushed off the hills. Like, it doesn't look as bad as Akron. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, like, I've heard some things and something's not right. Cause I looked at the elevation chart too. It's like, yeah, this ain't it, especially through campus. I've heard is just brutal.
Yeah, like I feel like I didn't see a lot. Like when running through the campus part, it was more so like I felt that was more like neighborhoody. But yeah, there were so many just like steep uphill downhills, and then right, it was probably a quarter mile to the finish. You're running up, I forget what street it's on, but it's like right next to the Capitol building, and it's just an uphill. Mm. For like a quarter mile, and it's just as soon as you get there, you turn left and the finish line is like 100 feet away. But you have to have to suffer up that last hill to get the reward of it.
So you make that left turn back onto Congress. You're heading back towards the start where you started, and there's your finish. How was the organization once you made that left turn? Was there any? I mean, you did the full, so I don't know if. Where you were, if you had any half marathoners that were like getting in your way or anything at that point, but any issues as you approached the finish?
No, it was very clear. So I think once you turn left on the Congress, they like split it up. So it's like marathons would just go straight and then the half marathons would go down the other way. But no, it was like kind of just like following the line. So as soon as you finish, they'd like the medical tents like right next to it. And then as soon as you walked out, it was like straight to like bag checks where you get your stuff, medals, stuff like that.
How was the medal? They have a pretty sweet medal. I need to go down and get me one.
It's probably the best medal I've seen. Just knowing that you could go on their website and have it become a belt buckle makes it all the better.
Is it still the painted downtown skyline? Is that what it is on the metal?
Yep. Yeah, it's like the giant square with the skyline and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to go down and get me one. That has been something that has spoken to me many, many times. And I maybe have told you I'll do it with you one year.
Let's do it.
So we got to pick a year and do that. I know it was cold. Did you hang around the finish at all? Or were you more focused on getting warm and taking care of that Achilles? Did you notice any parties or anything that were taking place for the race?
Yeah. So it like post race, it was actually pretty warm. It was probably like low 50s when we finished. So, but like as soon as you finish, after you got like your free snacks, your medal, you got one of those like cloak thingies that they put over you, but as soon as you walk out, it was just like a straight line down Congress, and each it was just like bag check where you get your stuff, and then it was live music with food trucks, and then in the middle of that was like where you go get your picture next to like the 26.2 sign, and instead of a PR bell, they had a PR gong. So you got to go up and slam the gong for the PR bell, which was pretty cool. But
yeah,
it was a party probably for a few hours after, which was really fun.
I think the gong is way more hype than the PR bell is, because Columbus has the gong. And yeah, it's when you're on that runner's high and you get to go do that. Yeah, that's a ton of fun. So I guess just kind of regarding your overall experience, was there anything, you know, from the city of Austin to the race, or anything that really stuck out to you about, this whole weekend?
I think Austin's a city you just have to go experience. Like, you see the hype videos and stuff online and like posted from Austin Marathon's like Instagram or something. But when you're down there, just seeing, like, everyone there knows what's going on. Like, everyone there is a runner.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen so many like elite tier running mustaches in my life. Like, you could just tell, like, a lot of these people were runners. And I think that was just...
Yeah.
Being around, like-minded people like that who just, like, they live and breathe the sport. That was just... It was so cool to see.
Well, and Austin is just, like, a very fit city. And so, yeah, when something like this is taking place, there are people from all over the city coming out to... If they're not participating, they're going to come out and support it. So, yeah, and it's a very welcoming place. So you're going to go back and do it again at some point?
Yes. We need redemption at this point.
Yeah.
We'll go down.
What would Goggins do, right? I mean, I may think the guy's full of shit, but hey, he works for you. So I'll let you listen to all the Goggins you need.
Like, yeah, probably won't. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but we'll go down. We'll dominate that race.
Well, yeah, we'll get the Wolfpack down there. We'll pull some shit off. You got to go for more than more time than you did, though, for sure, because that is not enough to experience. That is not enough time to experience that city.
Yeah.
So we'll do it 2 years, because I'm doing vacation next year right before it.
2026.
We'll get down. Austin 2026. We'll do it. But dude, I want to ask, how was your training? I want to step away from the race for a second. So you've worked with Matt for 10 months, and I just kind of want to get, you know, some of your takeaways on working with Matt at Rust Route Running.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this just because I'm part of the team or anything, but these past 10 months have genuinely been the best 10 months of my life. Like, being able to know that I have a coach and coaches who are not just writing a workout and then sending it to me, but actually, like, here, willing to go on runs with me on weekends, willing to sit down and talk, like, actually understand, like, okay, it's not just sitting here, how'd this run do, how'd you go, stuff like that. It's, like, actually understanding, like, okay, how are we feeling? Genuinely, like, understanding, like, who you are and getting to know, like, your style of running, that has been the biggest part. Because I feel like Matt and me clicked right off the bat, because I feel like we're pretty similar when it comes to running, where it's just like, we're just going to keep pounding and pounding and pounding. And as soon as we finish one race, it's like, okay, now it's time to keep going. So I feel like he understands where I'm coming from a lot of the times too, which makes it, I feel, go pretty good, because he knows when to stop me. He knows when I can push.
Yeah, you guys are definitely two peas from the same pod when it comes to running. You're very, but that's where, like, Adam and I will be like, yo, when Matt says, though, that you need to take time off after a race, you know it's real. And you know, Adam and I have been like, yeah, Brennan has to take time off after Austin, because you've been going hard. You know, you're new to this. You're a young dude. You had a hell of a 2023, and really good training here to kick off 2024. And I know the result didn't happen, but I know your mindset enough and the condition you're in, the shape you're in. You're the most jacked skinny guy I've ever seen too. I mean, sweet Jesus. So I like your strength and all that, that is, you know, it's going to come together, and we got plenty of time left this year. So I'm looking forward to following that journey to whatever's next. So
thank you.
I don't actually even know what's next. I'll have to get with that. Or did your Achilles throw some question marks on what's next?
Yeah, a lot of it's still up in the air. I'll just say we haven't signed up for another race yet, and I'm transparent with Matt about this. This isn't like Austin where I signed up mid marathon prep already.
Right. So, but I really appreciate you taking your time to come on here and talk with me about the Austin Marathon, and you know, kind of fun for me to take a trip down there with you visually here for the last half hour. So yeah, but I think I'm pretty much good. Again, thanks so much. Brandon, where can you be found on Instagram?
Find me, it's Brandon Panovich on Instagram, but you can also find me, I mean, I just also want to say thank you guys. Find me on the Rust Belt Running page, best page on Instagram, YouTube, wherever it is, truly.
Oh, I appreciate that, dude. Yes, and he's plugging for me. I don't even have to say much more. So, yeah, we thank you guys so much for listening. Brennan, thanks so much for joining me. One more call to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms and rustbeltrunning.com, where you could, you know, find yourself like Brennan and working with us, you know, towards big PRs and big goals. And we like to stay pretty hyped, so even if it's me just sending some stupid motivational gif from time to time, I'm known for that. So, but yeah, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Brennan, thanks again. Until next time, everybody, enjoy your miles.